April Fools, it's April 1st, 2009, and you're listening to Dissident Island, and we have a jam-packed show for you all about what's been going on in London around the G20 protests, and wow, it has been a really long day, and shit is still happening, and, you know, it's just quite crazy what's going on the streets right now. I hope you two stay tuned in to the end, because we'll have some stuff from just a couple hours ago or just an hour ago. But we're gonna have some. We're gonna have the Whitechapel Anarchist Group on to talk about some of the stuff that they did today, and we're gonna feature music from the Vic.
Yeah, we're gonna have tracks that we recorded from Recknaw by Bogus Gasman and Interterrestrials. Yeah. So we have that, and we also have. Coming up after, we've got some dubstep to chill out to because it's been fucking crazy from Delta.
Yeah. So first we're going to take it away with a montage that Patrick did of all this stuff that was going on early in the day, which was pretty nice and chill.
Okay, here we go.
Moorgate Station, just after 10 o'clock. Three police vans, a lot of police around searching people. Much more busy than Cannon Street.
About 12 noon on the 5th of April, the space hijackers with their Batmobile police tank were arrested. 11 were taken into custody for supposedly imitating police officers, although they were simply wearing blue overalls and happened to have police helmets bought off eBay. The tank itself had been painted blue with checkers on the side, but no word police was ever used. The tank had been hidden overnight in a lockup near Brick Lane, managed to get from Brick Lane onto Bishopsgate at about 10:30 this morning, but didn't get any further than the Royal Bank of Scotland on Bishopsgate, where it was pulled over by the police. After questioning everyone within the tank, the police was taken, the police escorted the tank down to Wapping, down to News International, where they wanted to weigh the tank at the News International weighbridge. Various tests later, having weighed the tank, tested the brakes, inspected everything, the tank was deemed completely roadworthy. But then orders came from Central Command that everybody wearing blue needed to be arrested. Up until that point, the police had been very friendly and had gone very well with everyone involved, but a few months later, they were all trussed up, loaded up into vans and taken off to West End Central Police Station, where they are now slowly being booked in, and we're waiting outside to see what we can do. So anyway, the hijacker 11 are locked up, but will soon be free.
Not bad. I'm the man on the street, don't you know? What's popular?
I believe you organised this whole event.
Oh, yeah, it was all down to me. If anyone asked who organised it, it was me. One man on the ticker tape parade, yes, I did it.
Well, that's quite some group text you must have sent there.
Oh, mate, you know what I mean? I've been phone treating for weeks, you know what I mean? Like, trees we've all got, man. I haven't got a single bit of credit left on my phone, but it was worth it, as you can see.
Agenda for tomorrow. We want to put it on the agenda. We want to say that right now they're looking at the
Is. I mean, we're just having a wonderful time. I don't want to be too fussed about the legal situation. The police seem to be relaxed. I think they just decided this was an unstoppable plan. Better to let it happen than kick up a fuss. And we're having a great party. So I've got a video camera mount, which is actually designed to go on a bicycle helmet. And it's there in case the police do start kicking up a riot. It's mounted on the inside of a builder's helmet on my head so that I can carry on doing what I need to do, recording the police in the same way that they go around recording us. They, in these circumstances, they usually go our group called the Forward Intelligence Team, or FIT for short. So I'm here to outfit the FIT.
This bread was baked by an activist here, honey with some line of beans.
Superb. Well, do you realise, I believe Pret and Monge are going to be having a few words with you. There may be a bit of industrial sabotage coming down here at some point.
We are the competition today, yeah.
I heard Condita and Cook are running scared of our cakes, you know.
The police seem to be quite serious about this whole matter, and dressed in their paramilitary uniform, they look quite menacing. So, this is Wayne Anthony, reporting from Bishop's Gate, over and out.
Hi, I'm just wondering why you're all here.
What I'd like you to do, if you wish to know anything further about this event, can you contact the City London Police media office,
okay,
please?
Do you know the number for them?
I believe it's 0207 601 2222.
Listen, lean a bit more long.
Can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
So you're smoking a big spliff?
Yeah.
Is it nice?
Yeah, isn't that?
I don't actually gave up tobacco, so I can't.
Ah, okay, that's cool.
You having a good time?
Yeah, having a good time.
So did you just come over for this, or?
Yeah, I just come over for this. And actually, unemployment, and I see the situation is shit. We need to strive pacifically. That was smoking.
Trading and how it's not the solution to climate change.
Yeah, and what do you think about the G20 exactly? Like, what are your opinions about what's going on tomorrow?
You know, they're the richest countries in the world that have got us into this mess, and I don't hold out much hope for them getting us out of the mess.
So here on Bishopsgate, you're setting up camp?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like got here, Bishopsgate, and now we're all on the road and getting down our mats and putting up our tents.
And I see you have a blue toilet seat as well. What's that all about?
Yeah, exactly. We've got some of the toilet stuff like toilet paper and also some bins to use and a lovely blue toilet seat, yeah.
And what do you hope to achieve today?
Well, I mean, I suppose, like, in many ways, it is a symbolic protest to show and make clear that carbon trading, which is often named as one of the great solutions to tackle climate change, is not working and is just shifting money around. And it's a great business for quite a lot of people, but actually not tackling climate change at all, which we want to say no to, and because, like, climate change just needs to be tackled on its feet.
And so you're looking forward to a nice day anyway?
Absolutely, yeah. Hope the weather stays as nice as it is now.
So what are you doing here?
I am mainly socialising.
Thanks for being honest.
I'm trying to drag my sorry ass out of bed to get this 6 o'clock bus, so, like, you know, I'm doing all right. And, try not to throw up. You know. It's always good.
Well, what do you think about the G20 tomorrow?
I think it's generally a bad thing.
Okay.
People get really confused about, like, where they stand in general. It's an overall statement. I don't think it's good. It's just more money for the IMF than World Bank.
Yeah.
Mainly, that seems to be the one thing that comes out of it, you know. So they've kind of got a lot already, bastards. So yeah. They don't need it.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on there?
Well, we gotta go.
All right.
Hello, dudes. You're by far the largest bumblebee I've seen this year so far. Have you got a point about bumblebees?
How many other bees have you seen?
You're a third.
Third?
The third,
I'm
yeah.
Spring already. Shouldn't our space be filled with bees right now, pollinating flowers, pollinating our food? Thank you.
Absolutely. So you're planning to do a fair amount of you come down here with express intent of pollination. Is this the idea?
Yeah. Let's get some flowers growing somewhere. Let's get some, some colour and some really nice smell, some really delicious vegetables and fruits. We just need them in this space. The space is dead without them. I'm a lone bee because there's nothing here to attract them.
You're right, we're back in the studio here with some members of the Whitechapel Anarchist Group. So, do you want to start by talking a little bit about the background to the protest today?
Today was all about basically coming up on the recession. A large amount, billions and billions upon pounds of public money that's gone into propping up the banking system. Working class people are left with home repossessions, redundancy and unemployment. And we're going into today to one of the symbols of capitalism over the years, the banking system. And we're saying that because of this public money going into it, this is our area. We're kind of coming out with a protest in it. And we're saying that we've paid for this. We own it. So we held a we had a street party out there today. We had a bit of a protest going on. We had these different groups coming together, just expressing simple outrage that this is our area, but we can't control it. This is our physical property, in a sense, but we're not allowed even to protest inside it. And we're just expressing that outrage, groups coming together as the only voice of opposition. There's no government expressing this, Liberal, Democrats, Conservatives, no one. We're the only voice of the people out expressing outrage against how our money is being invested in these capitalists that have helped mess our lives up for the past few years.
And like, how effective do you think it was, or do you think it was just purely symbolic what happened today?
I think in part it's symbolic of working class people taking over what's generally can be considered a ruling class area. But I think more importantly is it feels like the start of a movement. It's not like a Stop the War coalition march where at the end of it you think the next march we'll be down 15,000 people. It's like it felt like today, the next time we go out, the 1st of May, the 4th of May in Brighton, it will be bigger, it will be more colourful, more people kind of being inspired that we're able to successfully hold an event, we're able to keep people together and we're able to express a point. Should bring more people into the movement. At the very least, it feels like we're beginning to open a dialogue with our anarchists.
So an empowering event then, yeah?
Very so.
Okay. I guess one of the things that's going to come out certainly in the media today is the kind of the smashing of banks like HSBC and RBS. Like, I mean, how do you feel about what happened there?
Well, I mean, the Royal Bank of Scotland was seen also in all the media and all the newspapers as being pretty much a symbol, with Fred the Shred as well, also had his house smashed up, which I don't think we can say was a bad thing, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. So today, seeing on the demo that the Royal Bank of Scotland got a good seeing to as well, is a good thing, I think, in many anarchist eyes. But it shows that it wasn't all words and that people were really up for it. And being there on the day, witnessing what was happening there, was really inspiring, seeing all those people keeping together. They were unarmed people. There were people there, had nothing. There was no ammunition on the streets. The police had cleared the streets. They'd taken all the bins away. Anything that anyone could possibly even throw at the police. I've seen the Evening Standard says that people were throwing bricks at the police. No one. Everyone was completely unarmed in the face of police batons, and they didn't back down. And they fucking defeated the police. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters. They fronted them off, beat them back. Okay, afterwards, the TSG and their horses came in, and what are people going to do against those unarmed people? But people stood in it, you know, in their face, defiant against them to the end. Some windows got put through. Really, in the day, to an organisation like the Royal Bank of Scotland, it means very little that a few windows got broken. But it's symbolic of the fact that people in this country are really, really pissed off what's going on in their everyday lives, and they're getting fucked over, basically. Mm. And they're just showing that they want to do something against it. It's symbolic in that sense, but it's very inspiring. It is, like, as the other comrade said, the start of things to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of inspiring to you and probably a lot of people, but do you think that some people might be put off kind of becoming part of, like, this broader movement by kind of violent actions like we saw?
I think that what really puts people off is seeing that the Metropolitan Police Force and the other police forces that have been brought in today to police these actions were seen as being so brutal against it, and how they actually had no control over what's going on. And that what we've seen is a lot of unarmed protesters with bloodied faces as a result of police batons. I think that's what really puts people off. Not a load of unarmed people having a protest and a bit of a street party, listening to music and a dance in the city centre.
Okay, so it's a question of proportionality.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
So one of your number is a legal observer. From that perspective, how would you kind of think, what did you think of today?
Well, I mean, I may be a legal observer, but I'm also a member of Whitechapel Anarchist Group. And I mean, personally, I was really, really shocked at the level of police brutality today. And, I mean, apart from two incidences of a member of the FIT team, you know, deliberately stamping on someone's hand while they were just simply waving a flag, and, you know, someone getting arrested simply because they had a foreign accent. I mean, there was also a kind of common consensus that, you know, even ordinary people on the street and even the bankers themselves were shocked, not by the actions of the anarchists, were actually kind of, you know, accepted by people, but actually the actions of the police and, you know, the kind of harassment that they were giving people and the actual violence that they were using against people. But, I mean, that was also mixed with a melange of the police not knowing what the hell they were doing. And there was a lot of fear that they were going to kind of come onto the streets and, you know what we were already planning. And they didn't have a clue what they wanted to do. And they made a lot of mistakes today, you know, almost kettling themselves in at one point. And I think it's also important to mention, you know, that whether you're an anarchist and you're for direct action or whether you're one of these lunatics that thinks that it's good to use non-violence and you can just walk around, I mean, the people that the non-pacifists are still out there, you know, on Bishop Street or whatever it's called, and they're getting beaten up still. And because people are beginning to realise that the police are there to protect the property of the rich and they're not there to protect their people themselves. And I think, you know, that's what we got across today. And it's important to legally observe that, because otherwise, you know, it's other... Yeah, that's all I've got to say, really.
I mean, a lot of what we kind of hear, and I guess a lot of what we're going to see, is like police versus protester. And did you see that as like a distraction from like what we're actually trying to do in terms of building alternatives and kind of that sort of thing? No.
What was that question?
Do you think that the whole kind of focus basically on police and like, you know, we got to kind of get around the police and, you know, just this kind of obsession with the cops rather than actually what the genuine target is, which is the system?
Well, I think if you're talking about the mainstream media, then the mainstream media is never really going to show our views or the symbolic action against the system. It's always going to be about the police. And even though we've seen such brutal violence, we've even seen on the front page of the Evening Standard a young man lying bleeding in the street with police with batons over them, it will still be this threat of the anarchists that they've been building up for the past week. So, you know, hopefully our ideas will get out to people, but it's not just about these one symbolic actions. These are big things. They give us a lot of momentum and empowerment, knowing that we have the power in our very hands. But it's not just about this one day. It's not just about the G20. It's about every day. It's about this recession right now. It's about, like someone said at the start, people getting kicked out of their homes. Well, you know what? Let's not get kicked out of our homes. Let's stop them from doing that. That's direct action. So today's symbolic. The way it will be portrayed won't go beyond showing our critiques of the system, but we can build our alternatives every single day, and we do.
And in terms of portrayals, I mean, the Whitechapel Anarchist Group has kind of been at the forefront of a lot of
We've renamed ourselves the Notorious Whitechapel Anarchist Group.
NWAG.
thanks to the Daily Mirror. Yeah, there's been a lot of nonsense printed. It just shows, really, journalists are obviously too hungover and got too much caffeine buzz to do any proper research. I think they were saying Ian Bones, our leader, we've reformed. I think Wat Tyler, we dug up his body and he's joined us. It's just nonsense. I mean, if you check out our blog, we've put all our information out in the public domain. What we do is we produce a popular paper, which we distribute on Brick Lane, where we have amazing reception amongst all the market traders, the whole local area, really. And I mean, we hold social events like a Sunday Cinema Caf. We also do Radical History pub crawls, which go down very well. And then lots of things. We're involved with campaigns with the London Coalition Against Poverty and just really dealing with day-to-day issues that affect us, like unemployment, things like housing. That's what we do. We do effective, real things. But, you know, again, the media won't want to do an article about what the Whitechapel Anarchist Group really does. They just want to throw our name around and link it to violence and nonsense about class war and the Wombles and reclaim the streets, reforming. It's absolute crap. There's no evidence for it, and it's just nonsense.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. And, look forward to talking to you again over the kind of the future struggle. Anyway, so we're going to go into a track. What is it?
It's by Bogus Gasman. I've fucking no idea what it's called.
Cool, take it away. Stand,
Hey, bogus guest, man. Cheers.
Oh, a nice one. Okay, so we're going to go into a couple pieces that we did over the course of today. One about the childcare situation for people who were out on the streets who wanted their kids to be in a safe place. And one about the critical mass demo that happened today. And the next one would be about basically calling the cops and trying to get some info from them, and they just wouldn't talk to us. So here we go.
Yeah, well, we're organising a kids' space today and tomorrow over the G20. And it's organised by the CRUP Collective, which is Child Rearing Against Patriarchy, Pro-Feminist Men's Group, and the Global Mutiny Network. And we're on Raven's 8 Island in South London. And it's an eco-community space run by volunteers, which want to incorporate sustainable living, permaculture, skills sharing workshops, and lots of other ideas that people want to put in. So we're doing the kids' space, and we're outside at the moment. It's beautiful, sun shining, there's geese and ducks, middle of the river, River Thames. And we've been doing lots of things today. We've done teepee making, we've made nature crowns. What have we done today, Emmy? What have we done today?
We have done a parachute. And dream catchers. And
what else have we done? We've got hammock pier, fairy garden. We had a little rock concert this morning, football games. Forest school inspired crafts, arts and crafts, and
sounds like
lots of things to do. Yeah, it's been really fun today. It's been really, really good, and I think it's really important to support parents and carers of children. So I think it's a really important space to have, really.
So do the kids feel left out that they're not there with their parents at the protest? Do they know what's going on today?
I think they do know what's going on today, yeah, but I think they're just enjoying having some time, you know, with their friends, with other children, doing games and activities.
Yeah.
Except at school, you always have to do work, but now you get more fun here.
Yeah, that sucks.
That was in me.
Nice. Oh, well, so you will be doing the same thing tomorrow, having a child space in the same location.
Yeah, we're doing it tomorrow, same location, yep.
Yeah, and any final words for listeners out there?
I think it's really important to provide for parents and carers of children, and to include parents and carers of children in what you do, and not to be discriminatory, which can happen if you don't provide questions and kids' spaces.
Yeah, and maybe could you get the kids to yell for us and say hello?
Yep, okay, do you want to say hello?
That was cool. Well, thank you very much, Tumbleweed, and thanks so much for donating your time and energy to providing this invaluable resource for everyone.
That's okay. Anyone who wants to get involved in Raven's 8, contact them, because I'm sure they want more volunteers and support.
Yeah, cool. And how can they do that?
They can do that by ringing. Hold on, let me find the number. Ringing Phoenix on 07769-791-387, or check the website, which is www.ravensait.org.uk.
Excellent. Cheers. Well, thank you very much. I'm hang up now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wednesday morning, 1st of April in the City of London. At around 9:30 a.m, we met outside the Bank of England with approximately 130 cyclists to embark on a guided audio tour through the City of London. From the outset, there was quite a lot of media, TV and journalists around, but not very much police. And once we got going, we cycled at an easy pace up Bishopsgate and to the RBS building, Royal Bank of Scotland, to hear about their involvement in the carbon trade.
We had a little technical difficulty.
record never got to you with the audio we were going to play, unfortunately.
Since the pre-recorded audio didn't work, improvisation was needed, and one brave cyclist stepped forward to share his knowledge about RBS.
Out of all the banks in this country, it has made huge amounts of loans to fossil fuel projects throughout the world, and is also the one that E.ON are going to be using. Well, not that they're ever going to get to build King's North, which is the first planned coal-fired power station in the UK for 30 years. And it's RBS who are behind the funding of that, who are giving E.ON the amounts, the loans that they need. So if anyone else knows any more specific things about Royal Bank of Scotland, I've got their scum, that's one thing we know. But also, the fact is that now that it's nationalised, or should be, surely we have the power to say to them, withdraw all your funding out of nasty fossil fuels and invest them into something a little bit nicer.
After RBS, we cycled together down Bishopsgate to stop outside Deutsche Bank and opposite the Carbon Trade Exchange to hear one example of how carbon and pollution trading works for one company.
It's a company called Rhodia, which is a French company, and they make something called adipic acid. I don't really know what that is. If anyone can enlighten us, that'd be great. But they've got a plant, it sounds bad, doesn't it? They've got a plant in South Korea. And recently, they've invested $15 million in equipment that destroys nitrous oxide. Apparently, this technology has been available since the 1970s. So you've got to be a bit suspicious, because they've only recently decided that it might be worth installing it to prevent the lovely people of South Korea suffering the consequences of the nitrous oxide being pumped out into their environment. So I might be a bit cynical, but it seems to be that the reason they did it is this. Nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas which is said to be 310 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So Rhodia can generate 310 tons of carbon credits just by burning 1 ton of the compound. This enables the production of, wait for it, $1 billion in United Nations approved carbon credits for sale to polluting industries in industrialized countries. So the question here says, does the trade reduce overall greenhouse gases? No, customers buy Rhodia's credits only so that they can continue to invest in fossil fuels. Does the trade help Korea decarbonize? No, at best it's irrelevant. At worst, it encourages the country to build more dirty industries so that it can make money cleaning up later. Rhodia already makes 35 times more money selling carbon credits than it does from selling the adipic acid from the plant. You can make your own conclusions about it from that, but I think the facts are fairly obvious and speak for themselves.
While outside the carbon exchange, somebody from the space hijackers came to call us in for their support. Their tank had been stopped by police further up on Bishopsgate, outside the shiny RBS building again. We cycled back up there and swarmed around the tank with its escort police vans. But the tank had been deemed not roadworthy, and the sergeants were busy finding or interpreting interesting bits in the highway code to prevent it continuing. Meanwhile, the Met and City of London Police foot soldiers climbed up and down the tank to have their picture taken, while RBS employees were glued to the window, clearly worried about activists with tanks. The group split a bit at this point, with some cyclists staying behind, whereas the bulk of us cycled towards London Bridge for final talk, some music and dancing, before we all went off to join groups for the G20 meltdown or the climate camp in the city.
City of London Police, good afternoon.
Hi, is this the press office?
No, I'll just put you through. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Hello, press office.
Hi, I'm calling from Dissident Island Radio. Would it be okay to do a quick interview over the phone?
No, you need to speak to the Metropolitan Police about doing any interviews on policing on G20 related stuff.
Do you have any numbers?
The Met Press Bureau number is 0207 230 2171.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now.
Bureau. Hello, press.
Hi, is this the Met Press Office?
It is, yes.
Hi, I'm calling from Dissident Island Radio, and I was wondering if I could do a telephone interview. Would it be okay if I recorded this?
No, you need to put your bid in for an interview on this number. 0208.
0208.
721.
721.
7920.
7920. And I put a bid in, and then I get called back, or what happens?
If they accept the bid, which radio station are you from?
It's an online radio station, and we would like to confirm injuries and arrests and things like that.
Okay, well, you need to put the bid into that number, and if they're happy to do one, then they will call you back, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Hi. I was told to call this number in order to make a bid for an interview.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering how that process happens, because I'd like to preferably do an interview in the next 2 hours or so.
Yeah, that's not going to be possible in the next 2 hours. We're actually providing facilities at the moment and you've got in yard for a briefing at 6:15. And we've been doing some pre-records of information went out about that, but there won't be anything available in the next 2 hours.
Okay,
what
so
what do you might ideally want? Who's it for?
This is a podcast radio station, and it's going to be syndicated into various places in the world, basically around the world. So we just wanted to get some confirmation from the police side on injuries and arrests and other things that have happened today.
Yeah, you can get that information from our press bureau. They can give you updated lines on that, but there won't be any live interviews for the next few hours because we're busy doing these facilities now, so we won't be doing anything beyond that.
Okay, so in terms of the, you said there's an information line that I can call?
You can talk to our press bureau for any updates on arrests.
Okay, and so that number would be?
Bear with me.
What's
the external line for you?
0207230.
0207230. 2171.
Thank you very much.
They could update you on arrest and everything. Okay, cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. I ended up calling the next number in the series of numbers, which I was not allowed to record. I was told as of 6:24 today that there were 24 arrests. The press officer would not confirm any other information. Thus ended my fun with press police red tape. Not being an official member of the press elite with a press card, I was not allowed to go to any sort of press conference and was not given an official press interview. Not that I wanted one anyways.
Fucking hell. I must have lived with 20 people at least. 20, 30 people in this audience who lived on the environmental front line. What was it? Fashion? Or was it serious? Long live the fucking eco war. This is about the route of Middle Oak, about protecting our nature. Let's be having ya. Scared to find a place to hide.
way up. Those are the machines above. Going on to talk about Babylon and it's a world up. I tell you we can wait, so struggle and a joke. To trust in people's power, remember the middle hope. The 11th day of January, the right of middle hope. The 11th day of January, the right of middle hope. The 11th day of January, the right of middle hope. The 11th day of January, remember middle oak. Middle Oak, Newbury, the tree still stands. That's because of the ecological front line. Long live the eco front line.
Well, hey, and yeah, that was good. So we're going to next up. We're
energy.
Yeah, I want to nap. So we're going to listen to an interview that I did with Kirsten, who is part of the Rampart Collective, and she had a lot of things to say about linking the issue of housing, which we've actually heard from the Whitechapel Anarchist Group about, but the issue of housing to the whole banking crisis and why she was there and everything.
Well, did you go out on the Black Horse today?
Yeah, the cuddlers for about 2 hours, and then we managed to get out through a side street, though apparently they closed it again after that.
Yeah. And ended up having to stay there for a while longer.
Yeah. We're actually lucky enough because we got out. But I think there are a couple of other people who got caught and going to stay for later. I think that's what happened.
Why did you choose to go on the Black Horse of all the things that were happening with the G20 protests today?
Okay. Well, the reason why was because we wanted to really draw attention to kind of like housing issues and homelessness and the need for autonomous spaces and that kind of thing, because we feel like that kind of really needs to be on the agenda. I feel like there has not really been that much media coverage of housing as an issue.
How does it relate to the G20 summit that's happening tomorrow? What can you make the links for us? Maybe walk us through why you see.
I think we think about kind of what's happened with the economy and the financial crisis. A big part of it has been those subprime mortgages, mm-hmm. for one thing, the subprime mortgages are kind of the result of a situation where, wages have generally stagnated since the 70s. Yeah. And it's sort of a situation where people aren't really making more money except for people at the very top, but that's kind of been replaced by credit. Mm-hmm. So people's wages haven't gone up, but then the cost of living has gone up, and then people have gotten access to the credit. Yeah. But it's also this whole situation where housing becomes seen not as sort of a basic human right. It becomes seen as a way of kind of making lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
But it's also this kind of belief, this overall belief that everyone has to be a property owner, and if you're a tenant, then you're scum. Mm-hmm. And if you're squatting, you're even more scum. and if you're a council tenant, you're also scum. So there's this kind of there's this ideological shift that I think really needs to happen. The housing bubble. It was really connected to what's happened with the economy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's sort of like we don't really, in terms of the G20, it's kind of really what they've done. So they've used all this money to bail out the banks, and that money could have paid for like so much council housing. You know what I mean? They could have used that money for so many other purposes, but instead they choose it to use it to bail out the bankers. Mm-hmm. So I think questions need to be asked about how public money is being spent. Mm-hmm. I see the link as being, in terms of the G20, I see the link as being both to do with the kind of housing crisis and kind of what's happened with mortgages and how that's related to the economy, but also the decision of the G20 leaders to spend money on bailing out the banks as opposed to other things, other more important things. And I think it's very interesting that they use the money to bail out the banks. But how does this really even help the people who've, defaulted on their mortgages and who could be facing eviction?
Yeah.
So that's how I see the connections.
Yeah, I think that's really well put. So perhaps a little bit of a difficult question. How do you see your goals or what you hope will change in the future being achieved by going out on a protest like the one that you were just on?
Well, I think I have to see – I think the thing is you have to see protests as, like, part of a much larger movement. You know, it's one small moment, one small action that's part of something much bigger that's going to involve, you know, a lot of other people doing a lot of other things, right? But what I'm kind of hoping for eventually is a kind of larger shift in public opinion. Like a larger shift that's kind of about questioning this idea that everyone has to be a homeowner and that, you know, tenants are scum. And, but also this idea that housing is a way to make lots and lots of money, you know? And I think that, sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, no, I'm just listening to you. Go ahead.
Okay, no, sorry, I just heard some slight sounds on phone. Anyway, so I think there's a larger shift that kind of needs to happen where people need to really ask themselves some hard questions about how we got into the situation and really what are some alternatives, you know, to be able to get out of the situation. You know, and I think it's things like alternative economics, things like, you know, sort of housing co-ops and I think it's very thinking about housing in a different way. And I think that, but also I think how thinking about how the economic system can work in a different way. But I think to be able to do that, I think you need to have a bigger shift in public opinion. But I had a really interesting conversation today at the bank, and I was talking to a woman who used to work for an estate agent. And she said that she was doing some kind of clerical job where she was processing people's mortgage applications. And she said that, you know, she was being explicitly told by her boss that she should not actually read through the applications. And the reason why, she found out later on, was that they're all really kind of dodgy and you know, these people would default on their mortgages. But, you know, she was being told by her boss not to look at it. So, I mean, she saw the pillow I was holding, which said, homes, not property speculation. We had a really interesting conversation. So I think to be able to do something, for people to do something, it's got to be the sort of larger collective sort of movement. I think that people have to really ask themselves a lot of questions. They have to stop thinking that, you know, their house is going to be making them, you know, very rich. Because, I mean, for one, that's not going to happen. But also, how does it change how we see the places where we live? And we see them as places to make, you know, make lots and lots of money. I mean, what kind of thinking is that? And then you start to have stuff like, you know, you see everything in terms of property values. And that's a very dangerous kind of mentality to get into. I mean, so I think that what we need is we need a larger shift in public opinion. I'm hoping that the action that happened today could be the beginning, or it can be one small kind of starting point that we know, and that will, and as part of a broader movement, will require much more, I think. But I think that questioning process is really important.
Okay, I think, yeah, that's again, really well put. Excuse me. So do you have any opinions about what will actually be happening tomorrow in terms of what the G20 as a summit could potentially achieve, if it can achieve anything, and what it stands for symbolically? Do you have any opinions or observations about it?
Well, I'm not sure what will happen, to be honest, because I think that I think that Brown, amongst others, will call for like a stimulus package. I'm not sure whether, but I think that's going to run into problems. I think that Germany and France won't go for it. And I also think that to be honest, I'm not an economist, and I haven't been following what's actually going to be happening at the G20 enough in detail to really be able to tell you. But I'm not sure, just from what I've been reading about it, I'm not sure if there's actually any deal that's going to be made. Even though I read that going into it that Obama was saying this is going to be the next Bretton Woods, but I just highly doubt that people. I think it's going to take more than a day for people to sort out common interests. And I think, you know, another question is whether they really even have the best interests of ordinary people in mind. You know what I mean? Because they, so far, what they've shown themselves through these bailouts of the banks is they're kind of allied with. They're allied with the financial sector much more than maybe they'd like to admit right now. I mean, if you just even go over the speeches that Brown made even like a year ago, you know, or what was the statement that Mandelson made, you know, we're intensely relaxed about, you know, so it's just kind of, so I just, it's hard to say. I mean, there could be little cracks that should be showing, but I'm not sure if we can really look to the G20 leaders as really providing, you know, much in the way of solutions. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, at the demo, there are people from the press who are interviewing us, and you know, people from the U.S. press who are saying, well, what do you think about Obama? And I really think that, I mean, it's better at Obama than Bush. On the other hand, I think it's dangerous to think that politicians can solve our problems for us. I think it's going to have to come from a kind of broad social movement.
And do you have any opinion about the portrayal of the mainstream media of the G20 protests in terms of it basically being a bunch of violent anarchist protesters?
Well, I think that it's the classic thing the mainstream media does. And the reason why they do that is to detract from the issues. Mm-hmm. And to be dismissive, to say it's only about violence, and to send the message that it's pointless to be politically active. You know, why not just stay at home and let the politicians who know much better than us to sort it out? And so if people say it's about violence, then it's a way of making people scared so they don't actually come to the protest, but also it's a way of dismissing it and saying it's just this kind of irrational activity, and they're kind of conjuring up this image of the mob, you know, the mob who is threatening to normal, sane people. And it's creating a divide between sort of normal people and freaks. And people, of course, everybody who goes on protests are freaks, right? And so I think it's an attempt to discredit and dismiss, but it's also a way of kind of sending the message to people that, you know, it's kind of pointless to be involved in this kind of activity. You know, why not just stay at home? You know, protesting is pointless. It's stupid. You know, why not just sit on the couch? I mean, to give that kind of overall message. I mean, I know that with Rampart, we've been trying to talk to the media in other ways to try to draw attention to the issues. But I think that, I mean, this is what the mainstream press does. I mean, I'm not saying there have been a few slightly more balanced or slightly more sympathetic voices, but I think largely it's about creating fear, and it's about discouraging people from getting involved or being politically active, and sort of encouraging people to be passive, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So what is going to be happening in your immediate future? Are you going to the UEL, University of East London, Alternative Summit that's still going forward, or are you going to stick around Rampart and keep
this? I think I will try. I mean, you know, at this point in time, there seem to be people here. I mean, because we know one thing we're worried about is the space. You know, that the police might try to do something and so on. I mean, I think I was planning going to the summit if it's actually going to be happening. I mean, I heard that it is, but I'm going to stay around for the next couple of hours and make sure that everything's okay. Yeah. And if everything is okay, then I'm going to head over to UAL and then probably come back to Rampart.
Yeah. Okay.
If there's time, I might possibly check out Climate Camp, which I haven't got a chance to see, and I'd really like to.
Yeah, it was definitely a really nice vibe down there. And I hear that it was generally quite a nice vibe around the G20 meltdown.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we did get kettled, for 2 hours. But what happened was, we know, the group I was with, I mean, you know, we brought food and that sort of thing, you know, anticipating this would happen. We just sat there and had a picnic, you know, so it was actually really, really chill. And I'd say the overall vibe was quite relaxed and quite friendly, and people were quite positive. And so, I mean, because I think the effect of kettling is to make people panic and, you know, make people do kind of, you know, aggressive things that could lead the cops to charge them. But people weren't really weren't taking the bait. So people were just sort of hanging out. And so I'd say overall, it might be good, though, to talk to people who were there later than I was, you know, because it sounds like the atmosphere might have changed later, because I think the cops were actually getting much more aggressive at that point.
They have.
And it seems like a lot of the violence was actually instigated by the cops.
It's one for dancing to, let's get fucking moving. From the fiery bits of Camden Town to Elephant and Castle underground, there ain't no teachers in the school. They're all out hustling, playing pool. The neighbors complain about the noise. There's girls in labor with Tory boys. I'll say my prayers, go to bed, and wake up with a horse's head. But if we lean on you, we are gonna fool. When it's all for one, and one for fuck all. I will save the world, yeah, I will get the girl. I'll dismantle a ticking time bomb with 1 second to spare. I will save the world, yeah, I will get the girl. And you will all point up at the sky as I fly right through the air. Mother Earth is begging you to quit, so you reach the moon and stick a flag in it. While I believe in the people of America, I still can't believe the Terminator's the governor. As the soldiers prepare for combat, smiling us, do you want freedom? Rise with that. We put the oops back in troops, now it seems absurd. And going to war to prevent war was the most stupid thing I ever heard. I will save the world, yeah, I will get the girl. I'll dismantle a ticking time bomb. Just 1 second to spare.
will get the girl, and you will all find out in the sky as I fly back to the end. I'm a 20-something OAP. I'm screaming on my TV, playing knockdown ginger, kiss me quick, karate chop and kung fu kick. I try to live a life as full and keep my damage minimal, but only the bailiff visits me and he never stays for a cup of tea. And if we lean on you, we are gonna fool. When it's all for one and one for Buckle, but I will save the world. Yeah, I will get the girl. I'll dismantle a ticking time bomb with just 1 second to spare. I will save the world. Yeah, I will get the girl. And you will all point out with the sky as I fly right through the air. Said I will save the world. Yeah, I will get the girl. I'll dismantle a ticking time bomb with just 1 second to spare. Said I will save the world. And I will get the girl. And you will all point out for the sky as I fly back through the air. Well, thank you very much. We've been the King Blues out of London town.
Yeah, turn me on. Hey, so, woo! And we're back. And yeah, we're going to just play out the show with some stuff that Brain Cell got from us on a stroll in the evening through the streets of London. Pleasant, very pleasant. But first off, we'd like to do some shout outs. First off, Yusarian, thank you so much for fixing our player and helping us with that. Big shout out to Indie Media for their hard work and keeping everyone informed, legal and comms teams involved in today's protests and working all day. Convergence Spaces, especially the Earl Street Massive, big up. Big thanks to everyone who got involved with tonight's show and solidarity with all the people that hit the streets. Keep it up and hope to see you soon. And thanks for listening. And yeah. Here we go. And Wapa! Next we'll hear Delsa, DJ Delsa, playing some dubstep.
One blood.
Well, did you go out on the black horse today?
Yeah, the catalysts were about.
Yeah, that wasn't it. A little bit of live radio there for you as we scroll through. So we've got the proper. All right, no, that's not it. No, it's called Evening Montage, is it? Okay, so right now we're killing time and we're live on the Yeah. Brain Cell's gonna do.
So 6:54.
Is that it?
Do you want to do a poem or what?
You wanna do? Okay, no poem.
I'm on Queen Street, Cornhill, Bank Station.
I'll tell you one thing I saw. There's a lot of city people who were trapped between two lines of police when they were going home. And there was one lady, obviously not a protester, on her way home from work, in great distress. I asked two police officers, I've taken their numbers, if they would let her through the lines, use their discretion. She was clearly not a protester, and they just wouldn't let her go. And the lady was very distressed, and I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
Would you like to give her numbers?
Yeah, I can give you the numbers. It's the British Transport Police 4889 and the British Transport Police number 3442.
Basically, we keep trying to get through, but they're blocking us off there, like, so
it's totally
the whole way round is all blocked off.
Fighting now,
we've got a few bottles, someone chucked a bottle in one of the officers' faces about 10 minutes ago.
And that sort of set a reaction off.
Yeah, it's this geezer here on the microphone.
They're not this well, they're trying to
be shouting out and it's setting everyone off, like.
From over there, but
do you think that's a good thing?
Do you want to get out?
I don't know. It's all a bit of fun, really. Yeah. I mean, unless you get hurt.
Does anyone have any ecstasy? I'm in the mood to party. Maybe the guys with the fluorescent jackets have got some.
On Threadneedle Street, the police have got the dogs out, keeping the crowd back.
time is about 7:05.
Fucking hell.
So what happens to your
truck? Please stop beating me.
Oh my god.
My bike is in there. I'm showing some guy around the Mithras temple, the Roman temple. And then I'm trying to get my bike back and the police dog just bit me. Look at it. Look at the state of it.
You've got an injury to your arm.
I'm trying to get some
medical attention. Do you want to do an interview or do you want your medical attention?
I want to do an interview and medical attention.
Well, then you come with me when you're ready, okay, sir? But we've got medical attention for you when you're ready, all right?
Is it there?
Did you get the number of the officer in charge of the dog?
No, I didn't. So unfortunately, I should have done.
Do you know which one it is? I know, it's other things in your mind.
Let's go over there and have a look at it.
Well, no, mate, I'm really seriously worried about you.
Okay, if I do like that, I'm alright.
Right, let's find out which officer was in control of that dog.
Yeah, I think so, because like...
Are you seriously okay,
I'm
brother?
I'm okay, but like, it's taking a chunk out of my arm.
Okay.
Like a dog, and like, you know, I haven't got a problem with dogs, I quite like dogs.
Yes.
But not when they take chunks of my arms.
Okay.
And I wasn't doing anything.
Do you recognise which officer it was?
I think it was this one.
Okay. So, 116. You guys from professional journalists, can you tell me what's happened here? Would you say that a free press has been allowed to operate in this area today?
Members of the press were taking photographs and were attacked, and some were bitten by police dogs on long leashes that were clearly out of control of the police handlers of those dogs.
You sound quite shaken up here, sir.
No, I'm perfectly all right, thank you very much. Just reporting a fact.
Basically, me, Alex, and a few other mates were up in London at the Wyatt Police Country. And I think Alex has got a head blow with a truncheon. I think he needs to go to hospital. He's got a bandage around his head. I think Alex has had a knock over the head with a truncheon. That's crazy down here. So many police.
Sorry.
Oi, mate, we've got to fucking go out there.
You need to go to Chelsea and Westminster.
I'll take it.
I mean, really, you should get taken by the old bill if...
We're not sure to take anybody.
Seriously? Well, how long's the ambulance going to be, mate?
Don't know.
The problem we have is,
I've got
if you get a seizure on there, yeah, it's a death in police custody. Unfortunately, I can't give him medical attention he needs. If it happens out here, okay, there's no issue. Now,
you know what I mean?
That's health and safety.
This shit don't happen, mate.
Well, unfortunately, our hands are tied.
This shit ain't good, mate. The police supposed to look after people. They're fucking doing
it. There must be ambulances in the area.
Well, we're calling and calling, okay?
They've got bandage on his head. He wants to go home, but we've called in an ambulance, so...
The bandage...
Don't wind up the situation, mate. You've got to get a hospital the quickest way you can.
Problem is, we get to public transport, we get to the train, and there's a seizure, and we've got to wish. Head injury, you fucking just leave, get the ambulance.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the site we're in now. Same atmosphere.
Even in a medic car, a police medic car or something.
We haven't got any, and even if you get a police medic in the van there,
yeah.
We can't give him what he needs if anything happens.
Yeah. Come right.
You've only got to look at today, a mechanic cut his hand in a police car and sued him for £400,000 because he cut his hand.
Yeah. But I mean, he can't do nothing if he has a seizure here on the street either. And it's still from the same cause, isn't it?
We don't know what the cause is, do we? We know he's got a bloke there. So, well, as soon as that...
We're the truncheon.
We don't know that.
We do know that.
Right, we've got another medic.
Yo,
So that's it for tonight. Next we have Delsa, but just right mic, yeah.
Is this thing on?
Just wanted to remind everyone to publish any pictures or
audio
or
any information. It's open publishing. It's free.
You know your mic isn't on.
Yeah,
in fact, you don't even have a mic, so shut up. You have a beer. Right, okay, shut up. You're telling your beer things. Okay, no one can hear you. Right, so anything you have from today, photos, video, audio, your thoughts, your opinions, numbers from cops.
Don't forget to blur the faces and Anthony to take photographs of, though.
Oh, yeah, blur faces and anything incriminating. See some lads get reefed on the front page of the Daily Mail. Choking and breaking. Anyway, so hate that, whoever you are. Okay, right, next up, Delsa, see you. Night, night. Talk to you on Friday. Don't forget to check it out. Yeah, we'll be doing a summary of tomorrow's madness on Friday night, so same place. Talk to you then. Bye.
How long must the wicked reign? Deliverance must come.
sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share. What's mine? And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. Ooh, the harder they come, harder they fall, one and all.
I'm back with the shack of a soul, boss, most thundering, storming, sound of soul. I am W-O-O-O, and I'm still up here again.
do, but did I do, yeah. And I remember the first time that we met you. And I could I forget you. When you smile and I turn and I say to you, yo, yo, you pure and true. I'm in love with you, in love with you, in love with you, in love with you. I'm in love with you, in love with you, in love with you. We'll be right back.
If you're listening, I don't know if you've heard, mainstream media are reporting that one protester has died. Some people are saying that he collapsed. There's not really any kind of more details than that, but just thought we'd bring it up. Enjoy the rest of the set.
don't want to dip and leave the sun hit me.
Keep, I keep stacked. Keep, I keep stacked. Shine, yo, stick the gun, yo. Keep, I keep stacked. Shine, yo, stick the gun, yo.
Mocha fucking hole off the wall. What? Mocha fucking hole off the wall. What?
I just let your ass go, you know, spend my dough.
Mocha fucking hole.
I'm gonna dip and leave the sun hit. I'm gonna like her eye.
No, I don't care no more. What about you?
dream last night was about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through a valley with a princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess was there to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in Wonderland, staring far away. The three blind mice was there with me to tell the teddy bear the tale. The teddy bear came smiling there with a big smile. The little Bo Peep has lost her sheep last night. Dream last night about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with a princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess did a reggae, reggae, reggae last night. Was about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with the princess by my side. I did the reggae, reggae last night with the princess, my bride. The Duke and the Duchess was there with me to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in Wonderland, staring far away. I did the reggae, 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 reggae last night. Ooh yeah, ooh yeah. Do the reggae, 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 reggae last night.
Yeah. This has been a Distant Island, 1st of April 2009. It's fucking crazy out there tonight. Power to the people.
Yeah. Oh, and happy birthday to the people whose birthday it is.